Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again for joining me in Ichthus Network. The last broadcast, I dealt with the two dimensions of the kingdom, this age and the age to come. I want to use the opportunity this today to share a little bit about what the kingdom of the heaven is and how it can help us relate to Jesus and also understand the power and the authority and the holiness of God and his surroundings. I want to begin with a few, I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to give you reference to where an individual on this earth was privileged to see the inside of heaven. There's Revelation chapter 4, and you'll have to read this on your own. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 4. Here the prophet is in worship and he sees the inside of the glory of God, all the intricates and the wild things, scary things actually, of what God is like in as represented by his scripture. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 6 is another example. Ezekiel, the first two chapters, actually, and in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Because I've shown this, I'm not going to take time to discuss them, but it is something that these people have seen, and they recorded what they've seen as a description of the inner side of the holy place of eternity. However, I want to give you a couple of scriptures that will probably broaden your view of what heaven is like. And one of them is going to come from the book of Daniel, chapter 10. I'm going to read part of this, but let me give you a background to my next few words. Heaven is not just a bunch of angels hanging around singing songs and harping and whatever else they do on their instruments, but and you could think of that as an eternal almost boredom to constantly be singing and bowing and so forth. But here's a part of the inside of God's kingdom. Inside of his heavenly realm that is not known by most people. It might give us some insight into our prayers. We think they should be answered when we ask, but there's going to be a consideration here in this next few verses that I give you that will give you kind of a, I don't mean to belittle it by saying King Arthur and the Round Table, but there is a council of God that is represented in many scriptures, actually 12 different scriptures, which I'm not going to list them all today, but the council of God, not council, E-L of God, that means the advice of God or the wisdom of God shared, but the council, the C-I-L, which means a group of individuals that are brought together for decisions. Now, that's a new thought for you probably, but nonetheless, in Job, where God calls the angels to his presence, two different places in Job, and he asks, and Satan also is an angel, in this stage of the game, he has been called also to appear before the Father, and he's asked what he's been doing. He's been given a job to do, and he's come back to report. And that report is very strong on men going all over the world and checking out their quality, testing them, and proving them and reporting to God what they're like. And there are several scriptures that is in tune with that same venue of thinking. Apart from that, however, I want to look at Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. And I'll read this and then I'll comment on it. Then this angel said to Daniel, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words." Now, there's an indication there that Daniel's prayers have been offered, and it took a while for them to be considered. And finally, in verse 13, but the print, verse 12 going on to say, on the first day that you set your heart to understanding this, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, the kingdom of Persia in this context is evil. The prince of evil was withstanding me, or he was detaining me, for 21 days. And then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, that's an archangel, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. Now, verse 14, now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet in the future. Now, I'm not going to get into that other than say Daniel had been praying for some time, and the angel was dispatched to tell Daniel what is an answer to his prayer. But the angel was detained by the evil ones in Persia. Whether they were in Persia or not, they were from Persia. The evil spirits or the evil spirits were from Persia or in Persia, whichever you look at that. Of course, Daniel is not in his homeland either. But he was withheld for 21 days before Michael relieved him. So when we pray and we don't get an immediate answer, I think it's imperative that we understand there's something else going on in the kingdom of God or within the kingdom of spirit world that probably has taken precedence or has delayed the answer coming to you. So I'm not going to say much more about that, just giving you a thought for you to consider and have you do that. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22, I'm sorry, chapter 22, verse 18 to 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, 19 to 22. This is what's going on there. There appears, again, the council of God is in meeting. They have assembled, And apparently there's an issue that God wants to resolve. And so he puts to the council a proposal, how should we take care of this? And the text says, one of them stepped forward and suggested this. And finally, another one stepped forward and suggested that. And then finally, one of them came forward and gave a proposal, and God says, go do it. Now, you might want to read that verse, those verses, 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 to 22, and give an understanding of part of the counsel of God. This is part of the business that's going on in heaven. And God has his angels with him that they are to be dispatched to take care of the prayers or the situations that have been requested. And they're not all done at one time. There's enough angels to take care of that, but some of them are delayed for various reasons, such as the book here has indicated. I want to give you this so that you will kind of put your mind together and understand that not everything is about you. Even though you're a Christian, everything that you want, it may not be on the top of the docket that God would have the angels to take care of. So here's another passage of scripture. I'm not going to read it, just give it to you. Ecclesiastes 3:1 that says, God has placed in man, has placed eternity in man's heart. God has placed eternity in man's heart. What's that mean? It means down deep, we all crave the glories of heaven, and we fear the torrents of hell. Those eternal dimensions opposite each other has been placed in us so that we might fear God with reverence, and that we might believe of his awesome and his astounding power that is not equal in any sense of the word by anyone else. And God has chosen his angels. And by the way, angels are not depicted in the scripture of having wings. The seraphims have wings. They have six wings, and the cherubim have four wings. I'm not going to get into that. I just wanted you to know that angels are not these. These are special servants of God that surround his throne. Angels are in heaven at God's becking, and God created the angels, and they have been given for God's purpose, and they do not show in scripture of having wings. They appear in scripture looking like a person. Now, the other side of this, I want to jump the context a little bit, but I'm in the same boat. People who understand or think they do about heaven have presumed to have special gifts and abilities to speak for God, which God did not authorize them to do. And they are calling themselves prophets today. They say they have a private message from God or a revelation from God. They have a word from God they want to give you. And it's impossible because such an experience would violate the text of a private interpretation of Scripture, 2 Peter 1:20. Scripture is not a matter of one's private interpretation, but rather it is the Word of God and has been given. It is supreme. It is true. It is ultimate. it is absolutely exact. People who claim that God has actually spoken to them audibly actually are deceived by the devil. The devil has caused them to believe God said something that's not in the Bible. If you want the, if the Bible is the Word of God, and though not everything is said in one verse or necessarily by the same author, the sum of Scripture conforms to the will of God and is inspired by the Spirit of God. So the importance regarding salvation and service in His name is revealed within the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all Scripture is inspired, and it tells why and what it's for. Hearing His voice is to understand and obey the Scripture. It is not a voice audible to you, as so many people, especially TV characters that are called themselves evangelists, and they're just wealthy and they're weird. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about genuine prophets of the Old Testament, not pseudo-prophecy that's given today by many who claim to have visions or experiences, astounding, absolutely blowing people away, and they give the crowds reason to bow down to them. They think they're holier than they are, and with that claim, they are endowed with a superior spiritual quality that the license. Everything they preach quite commonly are the reporters of those who have gone to heaven and returned telling spectacular tales of its beauty, and especially regarding God on His throne. Now, I'm going to go a little fast here in my record. So if you get behind, if you want to take notes, just replay this message, and you will hear exactly what I'm saying. I am giving you names of people who have written books about heaven, and they have discussed or described heaven in ways that the Scripture does not speak. Such books as Don Piper, 90 Minutes in Heaven. It was written in 2004. Or Crystal McVeigh, Waking Up in Heaven in 2009. Or Todd Verpo, Heaven is for Real in 2010. Or Eben Alexander, Proof of Heaven in 2012. And Mary Neal, To Heaven and Back in 2014. And these interviews on several TV programs and the non-credited, credible TV evangelist, Jesse DePlantis, who claimed to have gone to heaven in a cable car, inspired people to believe in everything he says is really special. And the so-called TV Christian television programs, networks such as TBN or Daystar or Inspiration Network, these people have lied so as to make money. They want to make money. And Daniel was told to seal up the writings, for it was for a later time. They were impossible to express, as Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:31. But somehow, these current writers regarding the supposed trip to heaven are okay to make millions of dollars in order to expose the inner part of glory. Discernment is the ability to respond accurately to all kinds of teaching, influences, passages from the Bible, which contextually or integrally or consistently or historically give record and with clarity of meaning. However, they have obfuscated the meanings by giving their own personal and private revelations. That is impossible because God has finished speaking in his son Jesus. That's Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit inspired the text. Therefore, every gift and every interpretation must agree with the scripture, which is the Spirit's work. Jesus said, no one has gone into heaven but himself. That's John 3:13. Who came from heaven, no one else has gone there. Now, I want to suggest a couple more things before I get too far into this message. I want to give you one example of Heaven is for Real by Todd Burpo. Todd Burpo's son was 6 years old. Some say three. I think Wikipedia says three, but other more reliable sources than Wikipedia makes the son 6 years old when he supposedly died and went to heaven and came back to tell his story. Now, more than 10 million copies of this book were made, and more than $100 million was made in a movie that has been produced, thinking how rich Burpo must have been. Later, Tyndale House, which is a leading Christian publication, withdrew their printing of the books that claimed to say it was a true story, and they stopped printing those. January 16, 2015, Associated Press admitted that Burpo's son Colton lied. He never died. He never went to heaven. He never saw the inside of heaven. And there's a lot of confusion today because people have sworn by that book. However, it has all been fabricated for the sake of getting wealthy. The Burpos really did benefit financially from that. However, it was a crime against God for them to have given such a ridiculous statement. Now, I need to speed this up because I just looked at my time and I have a lot to say. The books have been written, movies made, and lies have been told, trying to capture the beauty of heaven. However, the redeemed will be with Jesus, and that is beyond all dimensions of aesthetics of the inner court of glory. In John's day, when the Romans ruled the world and warring armies moved against the city, the fortification of that city was primarily the height of the walls and the thickness of the gate. It was quite natural for John to write concerning the holy city in terms that the readers could understand. Revelation 21:15-21 gives John's description of what he saw heaven was like. What he's saying was it's fortified, it is stable, it is important to go there. But the reality of John's statement, which was not in this particular verse of passages, is that heaven has no enemies. They're not even available. There's no evil out there. And so that's why we have, I'll just give you this. The picture view, the 114-mile-high cube, the walls and the width of the city was the same, 1,400 miles thick. Although it says the gates were never shut, that's Revelation 21:25. The gates were never shut, but the walls supposedly were 200 feet thick. That would be fortification to keep the enemies away. But you have to understand, a mature Christian knows that there's no enemies in heaven. This is interesting, though, that Zacharias wrote concerning the city as having no walls. That's Zechariah 2:4. Now, so we're not trying to contradict each other because Scripture doesn't do that. But we're just trying to give a concept of the security of heaven. Following the judgment, we have several things to say. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. Therefore, the Apostle John, concerned with the safety of inhabitants of this first century cities, described heaven in extreme terms, whereas Zechariah describes the same heavenly city without walls because only the righteous are in heaven. Will the streets be paved with gold? John makes that claim in Revelation 21:21. But is it likely to show that human desires for wealth is as dirt in God's dwelling? Otherwise, the church might focus more on the gold than on Jesus. If anyone is disappointed that I write, or have I said, that there will be no jewels on the walls or huge pearls on the gates and no gold on the streets, then perhaps your worldly view of heaven is more selfish than spiritual. There will be no enemies. So no gates, no walls, and we who will be immortal, would we need streets to move around? Perhaps the concept of heaven is more for the sake of human understanding than is visibly realized. It's like the anthropomorphism of God. That means make God look like man so we can understand God. For instance, we have in John 4:24, God is spirit. And a spirit doesn't have all these attributes. Since God is spirit, that would be kind of scary for a person who thinks God is a good old grandfather sitting on the porch. Colossians 1:15, and not human. Numbers 23:19 and 1 Samuel 15:29 talks about the face of God in Numbers 6:24. And the eyes and the ears of God in Genesis 1:4 and Psalm 34:15. The heart of God in Genesis 21:17. The nose, Genesis 8:21. The mouth, Psalm 36, 33:6. The heart, Genesis 6:6, and the arms, Exodus 6:6, and the hands, Exodus 7:5, and the feet, Exodus 24:10. The wings, Psalms 57:1. All these precious descriptions help us to understand the eternality and of the invisible and sovereign God, but none so dramatic than the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us. Therefore, we also have the terminology of his abode. Even though God created the heavens, he existed before there was a heaven. And in the words of our Old Testament, 1 Kings 8:27, God existed outside of heaven, but heaven is where God has chosen to place his throne of sovereignty and the place of Jesus's authority. So we might understand that God is above all. In fact, the Greek word for heaven means high or above. We know that heaven contains the angels and the Lord with joy and excellent praises. There is no sorrow, no aging. It is eternal rest for the saints and the faithful from antiquity. We will be like the Lord in his glorified body, says Philippians 3:20-21 and 1 John 3:2. There will be no flesh and blood, only spiritual beings in the new dimension, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Wherein Paul warned us to set our minds and hearts in Colossians 3:1-4, this passage is the most important description of heaven that is not euphemistic, making the point of its significance is Luke 22:69. And Acts 7:55. Let me read those. Luke 22:69-71. Just a minute, I got to pick up the Bible. In this description, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Those are Jesus's words. And verse 70 says, and they all said, are you the Son of God? And he said, yes, I am. To all those that said Jesus never said he was God's son, you just haven't understood the fact that scripture says differently. First off, he admitted himself being the Messiah to the woman at the well in John 4. And here he is saying, for sure, I am the Son of God. Then they said, what further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. What is heaven? It is the presence of Jesus. And if you are upset that I suggested that gold and pearls and all kinds of gems or walls even or gates even are not part of the real heaven, you are so upset because you are worldly and you want to have all that gold. You want to have a mansion, which the King James uses, Jesus says, however, in the Greek text, my Father's house is large and you will have many rooms. In Acts 7, verse 55, a very powerful verse of scripture, but being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, when he was being crucified, being stoned to death, the first martyr was being stoned to death right here. And Stephen, being full of this Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. My friends, that should be satisfactory to understand what heaven is. First off, it has angels. It has angels to do the work of God's service. We find in Jesus' day that angels were dispatched to help Jesus on several occasions when he had his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and he was hungry and so forth. And the devil then left him and the angels came to give him aid. Then we also have Jesus talking about the angel at the tomb when he was resurrected, and the angel showed up there to help clarify what actually took place. Or Jesus was in the garden and he is praying, and finally he made the statement that he didn't have to do this. He could call on the Father and he would send 20,000 angels to rescue him. So heaven has angels. They're not winged characters. They are servants of God that he created to bid his adieu. Most people reject the truth about heaven because they cling to the human mindset instead of the spiritual. And to them, the Apostle John wrote a literal and physical description of heaven. The fourth gospel centers upon the value of being with Christ and his glory. It is enough to imagine his majesty, which makes heaven significant. Not wealthy mansions and not glorified gardens or surrounded by golden streets and gem-studded walls. Rather, it is the only alternative to an eternal hell. My friends, heaven is the throne of God, and it is a place which God said in the book of, or to Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes, I have placed eternity in the hearts of man. We all dream of heaven. We all want to go there. As a matter of fact, this is so sad. This is so revealing of the lack of discernment in people. This is tragic that people have this view of heaven that it's just a new vacation room to go to. When America's Got Talent, thank you. I heard on American Got Talent that this guy comes out and he says, my mother, she was so important to me, but she's died, and I'm singing this song for her, and I know she's up there looking down on me right now. Well, first of all, that's impossible for him to know. And secondly, to suggest that she's up there looking down on him right now is an attitude given that everybody goes to heaven, and there they are. I've been to funerals, and the preacher says, well, he's in a better place right now. You know, there's also a hell. And a person, if they're not faithful to Jesus, that's where they're going to spend eternity, is in hell. Not everybody is a Christian. But seemingly, most people give everyone a chance to be in heaven, looking down on me, smiling at me. In Steinbeck's book, The Unknown God, I read this when I was young in high school. John Steinbeck, he is a well-known author, a very wealthy man, likely. And he writes several venues in his books. But this one, The Unknown God, was a rancher who has livestock, and he goes up to this tree. Apparently, that's where his dad was buried, though I don't remember that in the book. I'm just guessing that's why he's there at the tree. And he looks out over the cattle, and John Steinbeck gives the impression that the power of the father, of his dad, rather, not the father, the power of his dad coming from under that tree gives him the equivocal significance of sexually producing his cattle. I mean, how strong can a person be to believe that? They have to be ninny witnick. They cannot have any ounce of spiritual Christianity in them at all to buy that. There's a lot of books out there about heaven. In our songbooks in churches back in the day when we had songbooks, and I want to gratefully say some of the churches that are smaller still have songbooks, there's a lot of songs that talk about heaven, going to heaven or the glories of heaven or when the roll is called, I'll be up there. There's just a lot of songs in our songbooks that depict heaven. It is really on our mind. It is the focus, and probably that is the wrong thing. Jesus needs to be our focus. We're going through some rough times as a church in many countries. They are in persecution, and they are looking for Jesus. They are blessing Jesus. They're working for Jesus. They're dying for Jesus. The Negro spirituals of our former centuries in this country, they out working in the fields, and some of their songs were about heaven, going to heaven. And I understand how significant that desire is in us. But because of that strong desire to go to heaven, there should be a magnificent desire to please Jesus while we're here. We have service to do in his name, or we'll never see the inside of heaven. My friends, if you don't know who Jesus is, you need to reevaluate your priorities and your life for the sake of your soul and the soul of your family. You are the guardian of that family. You are the priest of that family. And if you don't teach them about Jesus, they will go to hell because of you. Now, we need to understand what heaven is. It's a place for the saints, and it's the throne of Jesus. And first, you give credence to the power and the throne of Jesus before you think luxury, before you think rest. It is the glorious throne of his power, of his majesty, of Jesus. And you should fear God. And if you don't, you'll never make it to heaven, because you have presumed that you're good enough, and you're not. Thank you for listening. I appreciate very much.
50% as they must be even. I ask only 40% of respect for your talents. I just want to bring my 35 years of savvy business experience to the $1,000 and turn it into $66 million, which was no accident, and bring it to your table to help you.
But when you start talking about experience, we talk a different language. She could run circles around me in any aspect of real estate, which has nothing to do with this. We are talking a different understanding.
I'm with you, Damon. What if you got a little more cash? If you have an issue with the 55%, what if I came in with Damon and gave you $450,000 instead of the $350,000 for the
65%? The 65% is the problem.
$500,000. Take the money, you crazy chickens. Take the money.
One of the things, I know you want the 40%. Would you be willing to come down on your percent and take part of that as ownership in the patent?
Whoa, hold it a minute. This includes the patent. The patent is the heart of this business.
I didn't know you had
any. The patent wasn't part of the company?
No, the patent is the patent. Is the Allison owns the patent. The patent.
Why have you wasted our time? My offer is retracted. Yeah, my offer is off the table.
Amy and Allison have two offers on the table, but a new wrinkle could jeopardize everything.
The patent wasn't part of the company?
No, the patent is for Allison owns the patent.
My offer is retracted.
My
offer is off the table.
This kind of money, you have to bet the patent into the company.
Where, who owns the patent?
Allison owns it.
100%.
No, I own 60%.
Where's the rest of it?
Amy owns a portion and my ex-husband owns it.
Oh, my.
You have to bring that into the company.
Retract.
Wait.
Is your ex-husband a friendly ex-husband?
Yes.
Will he vet this into the company for a piece of your equity?
Yes.
So wait. Can you, just so we can decide what we're going to do with our time today, is this patent, is it available to put into the company?
Yes.
Okay. Allison, just tell me you'll throw the patent into the company.
We'll throw the patent in.
Okay.
Oh!
Are we back then?
I don't know. The back on?
I love this girl. crazy. Let's modify this a little bit. Let's leave it at the $350,000. I want to go a third to famous.
What's the dollar about that, Thomas?
$350,000 cash. Get Damon and the back office, which is amazing. You get Uncle Kevin and you get Robert when you need more cash, but we've got to start at 51%.
Well, let me just make a couple of comments here. One, men always want the control. They'll package it this way or that way, and it makes great sense, but in the end, they want the control. I, too, had a majority partner one time, and he only wanted 1% more. And 7 years later, he married my secretary, left me high and dry, and almost broke my back. So I've been there.
Barbara, you are a black widow in stilettos.
Barbara, fabulous.
One offer, it is three sharks, $350,000 for 51%. The other offer is one shark.
An honest shark.
For $350,000 with lots of conditions on the money for 40%. We have to make a decision.
All right, Barbara, you're in.
Ladies, I think you made a mistake.
You made a big mistake.
You did not.
You made a huge mistake.
What are you going to do? You're going to be successful, and you're going to be happy. We made a great deal.
Ladies, it's over between us.
Okay, goodbye.
You got them. You have to charge them. Barbara against the three of you guys? How did you guys let Barbara take down the
three
of you?
You know, I agree.
Well done, Barbara.
Thank you.
Unbelievable.
GoodRx is invaluable. I use it daily. I show the patient on their phone or on the computer. It's just really easy to use. Patients are so happy to save that much money on their prescription.
Because there's no way on earth I'm giving you a $5.7 million.
Do we even know what you still own yourself out of the company?
So I own 33% of the company right now.
Ooh.
Oh, so
are
hard,
you willing?
Man.
It is sometimes painful to find episodes you didn't watch, so today we decided to do that for you. Get ready to enjoy some of the least popular Shark Tank pitches, which will definitely surprise you, since you probably didn't even know of their existence.
Hi, Shark. My name is Brian Brunsing, and I'm from Buffalo, New York.
I'm Max Brown, also from Buffalo, New York. We're seeking $250,000 for 10% of our company.
By having a quick glimpse of the logo, it's truly hard to understand what it could be. What do bananas have to do with telecommunication? Well, for this duo, a lot.
There's just not enough fun in the world. Enough bananas.
That's why we created Banana
Phone! Banana Phone is a banana-shaped Bluetooth handset that connects to your smartphone. So you can talk to your friends, family, or the IRS. On a banana. We like to think of it as a phone with appeal.
Besides their ridiculous products, Max and Brian came to the tank with a plethora of banana puns, which surprisingly didn't end up as a slip-up, since the sharks loved them.
You can also show off your wild card by bumping your favorite tunes by using your banana phone as a speaker. And we banana split a portion of our proceeds with the gorilla conservation gearing up for gorillas.
Will the sharks think that this is a product worth investing in, or will they think it's bananas?
How long have you been in business?
We've been in business for 6 years.
Six years old, hit us with a little sales.
Sure. So you've done over $1.6 million in lifetime sales.
What did you do last year?
Last year was $540,000 in sales.
Definitely entertained by this product, but Robert also made a very good point regarding their trademark's name.
But Max, just to be clear, it's not a phone.
No,
you need to pair it with a phone.
You just pair your banana to your apple.
Thank
you, Robert.
After the water had been cleared in the tank, the duo said their next goal is retail stores, making most of the sharks react negatively.
Guys, you know, I think what you're trying to do in retail is beyond insane, but I'm sorry, it's not going to work. This is a very eclectic category. I do not need a banana phone in my portfolio. This is not a product for me. I'm out.
That was one of the reasons, but the reason most of the sharks went out was this.
It's a great personal business, but it's not a great fit for me, so for those reasons, I'm out.
Thank you so much for your consideration, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Congratulations. So many people have the idea, but nobody ever puts it in play. I'm not sure I see a scalable business for an investor. I'm out.
Four of the sharks were out, leaving only Barbara left. Basically meaning that all of the sharks were out, but just for fun, let's hear Barbara's reason this time.
One half of one half doesn't equal three, right? It will not grow if you do that. It doesn't make sense, but I'm out.
The duo was really respectable, but thankfully they had their nice job, and they just kept this as a hobby. Will we see a deal go the distance in our next pitch?
Hi, Josh. I'm Adam Haller.
And I'm Desiree Haller. We're here today seeking $50,000 in exchange for 13% of our company, SubSafe.
Adam and Desiree came to the Shark Tank during the time when basketball legend Charles Barkley was a guest shark. Don't worry, it's not so obvious. Their product wasn't basketball related, it was this.
SubSafe is the ultimate sandwich container and so much more. It's BPA-free, made from high-quality plastic, making it waterproof, crush-proof, and it flips.
SubSafe comes with three pieces to protect either a 6-inch sub or a 12-inch
stuff. So it was for protecting your sandwich and other stuff that can fit. The idea was useful for any water-related situation, but let's see what the sharks have to say about it.
So wonderful. Don't be an old fogey.
That's your
baby. We have
samples and
stuff for you guys.
More for you. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
It's fairly simple. So the sharks knew right away that the idea was great, and the fact that it floats was useful as well. But only numbers can tell how good a product is in the shark tank.
So what is sales? We launched February 26th, and we are just over $40,000 in sales.
Why so low?
Yeah.
We're fairly new, and we put everything we had into this, so we did not have a lot of money to play with marketing.
The sales weren't good, and the more they needed to invest, the worse it looked for Adam as well, since Desiree was making him do this.
I sold my boat. I sold our boat.
What would you do if we don't get the money?
He's going to have to sell his truck back.
Gotcha. She was kidding. But not really. Adam looked genuinely sad and worried about his stuff. Now that the Sharks had all the details, the stressful part started.
I love it. You're the real deal. You're so committed. You guys are so fun. I don't know if Adam actually can speak, but I'll give you the $50,000 for...
That's the problem. Laurie was out, and Robert and Kevin were not sure what offer to make. Mark and Charles decided to use the chaos in the tank and drop this offer out of the blue.
I think there's a wider market out there for this product. I think a lot of people are going to buy this. Mark and I have an offer for you. We will give you $100,000.
There you go.
But 50-50 each,
we want 25% of the company. And you got a real fisherman, and you got a real digital marketer, and we can do some business. But you got to tell us right now.
It was one of those now or never offers. The funny thing about this offer was that Mark and Charles were actually valuing the business a bit more with this offer, and the duo did notice that.
I don't even want to counter. You guys got a deal.
Deal. Switch to Verizon and get Welcome Unlimited for just $25 a line, guaranteed for 3 years. And you can keep your own phone.
I love puppies.
Well, I love that I switched to Verizon. My other network used to drive me crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad that we both got an awesome network and save money
for it. I know, $25,
but I love it.
Unlimited for just $25 a line. The savings that last on the network you want, Verizon.
The police don't want you to know this.
They don't want you to know this. Drivers, if you pay for your own car insurance, watch this video. I used to pay $162 every month for car insurance. Now, I'm only paying $39 a month.
An offer and eventually a deal that wasn't really shark-like. Maybe that's why it isn't as popular. If you haven't watched this pitch, then the next one will definitely be something new for you.
Rob Roots is here with Happy Snacks. Made from Natasha in GC.
We all agree that a memorable entrance like that should be more popular, when in fact this pitch is one of the least popular episodes on Shark Tank. Let's see what this man sings about.
My name is Eric Dalemore, and I'm from New Orleans. In case you couldn't tell, I'm seeking $400,000 for 7% of my company, Brass Roots.
The Sharks appreciated Aaron's pitch, and to be honest, his product wasn't half bad as well.
First snack made from the Sacha Inchi seed. Well, it's also known as the Incan peanut because it looks, tastes, crunches, and cooks like a nut, but without the allergen.
In short, his product bypasses peanut allergies, meaning that now the people who usually can't eat peanuts now can.
And with zero net carbs, it's keto and paleo friendly. From our roasted seeds to our seed butter, to our snack bar, and we even have a high-protein crunch puff.
After Aaron told the Sharks a bit more about himself, Mr. Wonderful respectively asked about the sales, since, as we all know, he was more interested in that.
Okay, so why don't you tell me what you're selling? Because if I want to play ball and get involved in this, but Chef Wonderful behind it, I got to write a check for $400,000. Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 2019 we did $35,000. 2020, we did $250,000. 2021, we did $500,000. And then this year, we're expecting to do $1.5 million.
The growth of his company was rapid. But as we all know, revenue doesn't necessarily mean profit.
What are you going to make on $1.5 million?
Oh,
we're not profitable at this point. Okay,
how much do you have in the bank?
There's about $100,000 in the bank.
So you're in a tough place here. You're going to burn out in 90 days.
His presentation was getting overshadowed by the bad margins and the expensive prices of his products. A hard company to invest in. But after he said this, it definitely got even less attractive to the Sharks.
How much have you raised in investment to date?
We've raised $1.7 million today.
Oh, wow.
At what valuation?
The most recent valuation was $5 million post-money valuation.
Do we even know what you still own yourself out of the company?
So I own 33% of the company right now.
Ooh, the Sharks didn't have too much wiggle room, and the only way to get a deal done on this deal was through Aaron really risking it all.
Are you willing to take pain?
So, he already is.
Yeah.
Part of the reason that I have 33% and not, you know, 75, for example, is that my first investors who invested in 2014 in a separate business, I really wanted to commit to them. I could have honestly...
So you rolled it over and gave them equity.
Yeah.
Aaron was doing an honorable thing by basically giving equity away for free. It's really nice of him and good for his investors. But for the Sharks, not so much.
You took that weight and you brought it into your new deal and it took equity away from you. You actually burdened me with all of the past sins. I'm out.
Most of the Sharks agreed. Since non-existing margins and only a third of equity to work with, a deal was very unlikely.
You only have 33% left, and there's no meat on the bone for me to feel comfortable. I'm going to be a customer, but I appreciate that.
I don't think this business is investable at this moment. I wish you the best, but I'm out.
We wish Aaron the best, but having funds to keep the wheel spinning for 30 to 40 days is stressful enough. Combine that with the nerves of being in the shark tank, the only thing we can say is impressive. Aaron did impress as a presenter, but sometimes the product presents itself, making us all want it. Click here to check out our previous video where we covered Shark Tank products that everyone should have.
Have you claimed your $3,600 benefit yet? Attention, Americans over 40. The government...
Corner thing.
This
corner
is my golden ticket. It's real gold. The golden ticket goes to my favorite product I've seen.
Oh, my God.
I have a guitar pick. Chloe should have a golden ticket for all the products from this list because they are worth their weight in gold. Today, we will take a look at some of the best Shark Tank products that everyone should have or at least consider having. Let's jump right into the video.
Hello, Sharks. I'm Brian Special.
And I'm Michael Special.
And we are
the Special Brothers.
We're seeking $50,000 in exchange for 20% of our company. And as you're about to see and hear, we have a product that's even more memorable than our last name.
It will definitely take something special to do that, pun intended. Jokes aside, their product was special and something perfect for these cold and snowy days.
Tis the season of the comfy, la 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 la. It's the blanket that's the sweatshirt, la 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 la. Warm and cozy, it's the comfy, the perfect for anyone on your list.
The brothers were especially energetic, but not the best singers, that's for sure. Their products were something not really original, as the name states, but definitely most of us wish we had the real deal and not the improvised one.
The blanket, it's perfect for lounging around the house in total luxury. And because it's a sweatshirt, it goes with you and keeps you warm wherever you are.
Oh, my God.
The possibilities are endless, and kids, they love the comfy.
Who doesn't want to have a comfy on while binge-watching our videos? No one? The Sharks found it hysterical, but the duo slowly but surely made the Sharks take their products more seriously because it seemed like there was even more than meets the eye.
Made of a soft microfiber on the outside and an even more luxurious Sherpa on the inside. The pocket is large enough to fit a phone or even a tablet, and the oversized hood can double as a pillow. Imagine having that on an airplane.
Plus, it is reversible, meaning that you can rock the fluffy side as well. After finishing up a rather impressive presentation, it was the Shark's turn to try it on.
Barbara, what are you doing?
The Sharks were having fun, but things got serious after Brian and Michael said this.
We've been at this for less than 6 months.
We have
no sales yet. We are ready to put in our first major order.
What is the distribution plan?
To be completely online.
They basically didn't have anything except the product. They came early for sure, but besides all of that, there was also this problem.
Here's a problem for me. I love you guys. You are funny. You are nice. You are wonderful. But the big elephant in the room for me is
the other one that you mentioned just like it, except as a hood.
It's not
and
just like it.
Well, what was the other one?
It is a blanket. It is absolutely not the smoke.
I actually do a lot of business with the people that create it.
Oh,
I like products that are unique. This is not unique enough.
Laurie was out, and Mark followed shortly after. For him, as for most of the sharks, the product was just too far away from a point where the company could eventually be profitable. It was a huge risk, but you will be shocked to see who stepped up and made an offer.
50% for 30%, but you do all the work. I'm going to know how to market it. I think you hyper-focus online, and I can help you there because I sell so much product online.
Robert had an offer for 50%, but Barbara wanted the deal more. It was all up to the brothers. Will they take the deal, or will they counter and swim with this crafty old shark?
Barbara, would you consider $50,000 for 25%, and you have a deal?
You know, I'd say not.
No.
Wow.
You haven't heard from me yet.
We haven't.
There's always the possibility.
I thought you were out.
No, I'm not out. I have not spoken yet, Robert, and I need silence. I'm out.
That was just cruel by Mr. Wonderful. Thankfully, the comfy duo laughed about it as well, and in the end, this happened.
Barbara, you have a deal.
Let's get comfy together.
And they did get more than comfy. Their products went crazy, and it's slowly becoming the new and improved Snuggie. That's all you need to know before you get it. Don't let your focus drop, because we are not planning on stopping yet.
Howdy, Sharks. I'm Mark Newberger.
And I'm Jeffrey Smiley. And our company is DropStop. We're here today seeking a $300,000 investment in exchange for a 15% stake in our company. Now, Sharks, let me ask you a question. Have you ever dropped anything down that gap between the seat and center console in your car?
This entry will definitely save time and nerves, since our cell phones love falling in between that gap. But what sophisticated way did these two come up to prevent that from happening? Let's find out.
Well, we like to call it a commuter triangle, that place that eats up your cell phone, your keys, loose change, parking and credit cards, and all sorts of food items like the french fry. Tell me, how many of you have a two-year-old petrified french fry sitting down in that gap?
Bart was feeling the pitch and genuinely seemed to like the idea. And Mark is a smart man, so we all know that this product is a must-have.
The first of its kind, original, patented safety device designed to once and for all block that pesky yet ever so dangerous gap between your car seat and center console. DropStop is universal to fit any car or truck. The built-in splotch is designed to fit easily around the seatbelt cap.
Congress has just passed a new bill allowing seniors to claim up to $3,300. This plan was recently approved by the Biden administration.
That's like so, which anchors it to the seat, so it can never fall through to the floor.
Robert was laughing, but this product addresses a real and dangerous issue. But will it have sales so that all the sharks can take it seriously?
How much money is there in solving the Carmuda Triangle problem?
We've actually sold over 260,000 units.
How many dollars does that equate to?
We have had gross sales since we opened our doors in 2009 of $1.3 million.
They were killing it, and for good reason. Somehow it also seems to make the car cozier. But the product was not the right fit for some of the sharks, since they preferred dropping out of the deal without stopping anything.
I can't believe people are dropping that much stuff. Like, well, it never happens to me.
Robert, just go out there and look at my car.
Thank you.
I'm not a believer in the product. I'm not the right investor. The sales are showing that it's a need, but it's not something that I believe in. I'm out.
Mark didn't know how to add any value, so even though he loved the product, he followed Robert and Damon's path. We all know that when there is revenue, Mr. Wonderful is never far away.
I give you the $300,000. I don't want any equity in your company. But what I want is every time you sell one of these foam weenies, I get $2 back.
I mean, that would end up leaving us with a dollar left for ourselves after we're kind of done if we're making $3 on each individual
product. The only thing that could save them from Kevin's terrible offer was Laurie.
I can easily make you millionaires. I'm going to offer you the $300,000, but I'm going to ask for 20% because I understand what it's going to take for me to do all of this. But I think you guys are a hero. and I think the product's the real hero.
After avoiding Mr. Wonderful's offer, like the vampire avoids the sun, the duo decided to go with Laurie's offer, and it was definitely the right move.
Now to have this police department equip their vehicles with drop stop, it's a huge validation for why we set out to do what we did.
We had $1.3 million in sales in our first 3 years of business. 5 years since doing a deal with Lori, we've hit $28 million.
That's a happy end that this product deserves, but trust me, with the next product, you will be fearless in the kitchen.
Hi, Sharks. I'm Yair Reiner from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm seeking $100,000 in exchange for 10% of my company, Frywall. Frywall offers a simple, elegant solution to a problem that every cook knows and hates. Splatter.
Yair came to the tank with a product that will fix one of your biggest fears, getting splattered by boiling oil drops while cooking. Jokes aside, it can get pretty messy and stressful, but just how will he resolve this issue?
Frywall offers a simple, elegant solution. It's a silicone guard that rests inside the loop of your pan. Whether you're making tomato sauce or cooking up bacon, Frywall keeps the sizzle in the pan and the splatter off of you and your stovetop. Unlike a lid or a splatter screen,
it was one of those simple yet effective products that can either be a huge hit or a disaster in the tank. And judging by the Sharks' reactions, Frywall was on the right path.
Yeah. Now, Sharks, please don't try that without a Frywall. When you're done, just flip the Frywall into the dishwasher and then roll it up for compact storage.
The idea was nice, that's for sure. But the elephant in the room was addressed early on by Roberts.
Will it burn? So it's made out of silicone, which has been used for bakeware for ages. So it's safe to 450 degrees.
Where did you come up with it, Yair? What's your background?
So I came up with it because I've always been a home cook. I invented this thing in my kitchen. And then I saw that nothing like it had ever been done.
The product made sense, and he was likable. But that can all become irrelevant if Yair doesn't have the numbers to back it up.
What do you sell them for? What do they cost you to make?
On average, they cost $25 and $5.50 to make.
And where do you sell them?
About 70% of our sales are online.
What are your total sales?
So we launched the product a year ago, and we've done a total of over $800,000 in sales.
Wow.
The must-have products became the must-have company for Mr. Wonderful after he heard about the great profit margins and sales.
I like your story. I like your product. I'll give you $100,000 for 15%. No royalty, Kevin?
No. Straight 15%.
I know what's happening with the Walmart buyer. I've been selling Walmart my whole life.
Yair was having issues putting his products in Walmart. So Kevin decided to swoop in and use the opportunity. Mark and Laurie, on the other hand, were having a discussion about getting the best business strategy. So Damon cleverly asked him this.
We're all trying to, you know, determine his business strategy. I want to hear from him. Where does he really want to go?
Where I want to go is have a defensible business and one that's profitable. Whether the protection comes from IP or protection comes from saying, you know, everybody get out of the way because I'm putting my product here in the store so you can't.
I believe you should go retail as well. It's free advertising.
Damon got the answer he wanted and decided to make an offer as well.
I'm going
to
offer $100,000 for 15% as well.
I'm going to show you something.
You going to make an offer, Lori? Or are you going to do the corny thing?
This?
Corny thing.
Corny is my thing? Golden ticket. It's real gold. The golden ticket goes to my favorite product I've seen.
Laurie started giving out her golden tickets for the best products of the season in her mind, meaning that putting this as number one on our list was a home run. For those who are not familiar with what the golden ticket is, Laurie will explain it to you.
What this means is I'm going to give you exactly the offer you came in asking for.
Ooh.
$100,000 for the 10%. And I will also fund your purchase orders, giving you a line of credit indefinitely. The question is, are you going to take it or leave it?
Wow.
Yair has the deal he was looking for on the table, plus more. He surely has to take this offer.
I love the offer. I love the ticket. You do want to hear if Mark has anything to say about the deal.
Ooh. So you don't want to even though she's giving him exactly what you're asking for. You know what?
The mouth. We have a deal.
David wasn't happy with Laurie's golden ticket strategy, but just like you have to have this product, you have to have aces up your sleeve to secure a deal. The golden ticket products always do good and go viral, but there are pitches that do even better. Click here to see our previous video. Are you sick and tired of spam calls? Well, what if I told you there was a way to permanently put a stop?
Believe it or not, stronger, smarter babies. Let's take a look.
Calling your products featured today strange is an understatement. You can also call them disturbing, weird, or useless. And as you see, some of them might be a bit sadistic as well. Sit back and enjoy. Since today we will take a deep dive to uncover some of the strangest items ever pitched in the Shark Tank.
Hello, Sharks. My name is Maddie Salmon, and my product is called Wake and Bacon. I'm asking for $40,000 in return for 20% equity.
Matty came to the Shark Tank with a deal that definitely would wake the sharks up since the offer was not that bad. But unfortunately, the product and the idea behind it were.
So I canvassed my fellow students, asking them what their ideal way to wake up was. Now, I can't say what the number one answer was on television, but the close second was the smell and taste of bacon. And so inspired, I went home and I built the world's first alarm clock that actually wakes you up with bacon.
The idea was so, let's say, unique that the sharks were waiting for some type of punchline after this sentence. But then he presented his products, which was anything but a hit.
The night before, you open up the chamber and you put in a couple of slices of pre-cooked bacon. And then you set the alarm for, say, 7 a.m. The next morning at 6:50, the clock silently turns on and it heats up the bacon to a crisp so that the smell is really strong and can wake up any bacon lover.
The sharks were laughing at his strange product and from the start didn't really take Matty that seriously. But they did find something that was cute about his product, and that was its future.
I've actually got an artist rendering of what it could look like if mass-produced. Notice the hooves. And this is what it looks like with the tray open. And the cord is a little corkscrew. I thought of everything.
But that as well didn't improve Matty's odds in the tank, since the sharks did not understand the need for a product like this at all. The only thing that could potentially save Matty was the sales, which were non-existent since he came to the Shark Tank with the one and only prototype. So, unsurprisingly, he got cooked like bacon by the sharks.
So, Matty, what happens when we've sold 10,000 of these and the 10,001st catches on fire and burns the couple to death in their bed? Do you think they want an oven cooking bacon next to a bed?
Well, you know, there's the Easy-Bake oven out there.
We're not next to somebody's bed at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But Matty was not just a terrible inventor. He was an even worse businessman.
Yeah. You think you could sell how many units?
I'm not sure. I don't have a projection of how many units I could sell.
Throw in a forecast, say, 1.26 million in the first quarter. Even if you're lying to me, at least that's interesting. You've got no projections whatsoever. You've got a big box that's going to catch on fire and kill somebody. I'm going to be sued in the Stone Age. I'm out, but I'll give you $100 for the pig box.
Kevin was ruthless here, but this man did waste the time with the sharks, but he somehow managed to get a deal as well, which honestly, he should have taken. $100 for his product is a reason for celebration. The other sharks soon followed Kevin.
I don't think anyone really wants to have bacon that close when they're waking up. I think they like smelling in the kitchen that mom's making, so I'm out.
All right.
I'm taking my piece of bacon and I'm out.
David was out as well, and the only one left was Mark, who was even interested in the product because of how stupid it is.
How many percent set the house on fire? Well, that's one, the point, though, is they're not going to use it to make bacon. This is going to be a present for Dad because it's so darn stupid. And Mark Cuban puts his dough into stupid ideas. Is that what I'm hearing here? It's a gag gift.
Mark thought that he needed way more money to make this work, and even then it would be a huge risk. So he went out as well. You will respect this product once you see how bad the next ones are.
My name is Michael J. DeSanti, Mike D for short. I am seeking $130,000 in exchange for 40% of my business. And my business is the Squirrel Boss Squirrel Proof Bird Feeder.
almost the final boss of weird and bad products as well. But this product was so bad that it even lost the strangest item competition.
Now, we know squirrels are extremely cute, and they need to eat too. But they are 5-pound gorillas, and they are hogs. But with Squirrel Boss, if you see a squirrel on your bay feeders, and he wears all his blue gum, just press the remote control and deliver a harmless static shock correction.
The sad thing about this pitch was that Michael thought that if the sharks are laughing, it's a good thing. The sharks were enthusiastic to get shocked by the product since the pitch was not enough shock for them. After all the fun and games were over, the sharks got serious. As soon as that happened, Michael started realizing that all the laughs he has been getting didn't do him any favors.
I'm sitting in my house. I see the little squirrel eating. I think he's had too much. I zap him.
That's the whole thing. When I said wears out his welcome, because squirrels need to eat too. But that means I have to be watching.
That's
our second biggest objection that I get all of the time in public.
What's the first?
That you have to be watching.
Too expensive. And that's why I'm here.
That's hard to believe, Mike, since people need to actually want to buy it to say it's expensive, just as it's hard to believe.
Attention. The United States federal government is having a meeting on March 21st, and a decision is going to be coming out. If you know what might be said at this meeting in advance, like we do, you can potentially turn $100 into $12,100. You are being invited to watch a free video report, where you'll be shown what we think will be happening on March 21st, and how you can potentially turn every $1 you invest into $121 in 60 days. 60 days from today, you could be making more money than you ever thought possible. You don't have to watch the whole video if you don't want to. You'll get all the details that you need to know in the first 10 minutes. Simply click this link to watch the video. On March 21st, right after the Fed meeting, those in the know are potentially going to get rich. If you know what the so-called insiders know, you can potentially get rich too. Now, this event has happened before in the past, and most of the people who listen to me got substantial returns like this. Mr. Ali Salmi from London, England, turned $2,500 into $280,000 in 90 days. Mr. Phil Page from Southern Australia made $15,000 in 90 days. Mr. Darcy Higgins from Carrot River, Canada, increased his portfolio by over 700%. In 14 days. They watched a similar video report that you're being invited to watch right now. They, however, not only watched the report, they also listened closely to my advice. So watch this video right now so you can learn what will be happening on March 21st and most importantly, what you can do to potentially turn $1 into $121, to potentially turn $1,000 into $121,000, and the sky's the limit. Click the link on this video now to watch this free video report.
The Silver Eagle Monster Box Sweepstakes. It is back. SC Bullion is giving away 500 of the...
Please, what he said next.
Mike, wouldn't the animal rights people get all over this? You're electrocuting the animals. Actually, they like it because they know the alternative is lethal force. People are, unfortunately, shooting squirrels to death. There's no way to stop an animal.
Is that legal?
It's totally illegal.
They love it. The downside of buying this product is that squirrels will start gathering around it to get zapped, just because they love it so much. When it came to numbers, Mike had some sales, but he was frustrated because no matter how much money he spent on marketing it, the sales just stopped at some point. But he also had a patent denied, making Laurie ask this.
Was it denied because something else existed already like it?
No.
It says, as seen on TV. Does that say that on there?
It does because the news crew came to my house, but it was a news story on TV.
No, real as seen on TV.
Well,
after this little stunt, the sharks lost trust in Mike, and since they never had faith in the product, Mike received a short but sweet I am out montage.
but I don't want to get zapped again. I'm out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, but I strongly disagree.
You mean to zap a squirrel? That's a statistic. For that reason, I'm out.
Mike was starting to sound desperate, and after Mark went out, Kevin had something shocking to say.
Just may shock you, Mike.
I'm not shocked, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm out.
I can't leave. I won't leave.
The situation was getting tense, but Mr. Wonderful said this to solve the issue at hand within seconds.
You know what? Put your hand on that. Give me that button. He'll be gone soon.
Thank you. It's very serious at the end, almost shocked that he didn't get a deal. If you see what we did there, press that like button. And let's continue with the best worst item on this list.
Hi, Howard. My name is Chrissy Eisen, and I am the proud founder and sole owner of Flip Baby. Today, I am seeking $150,000 for 20% of my company.
She does look proud, and the Sharks respected that, but how can you respect someone who is proud of coming up with a product like this? So this liability nightmare around the baby's neck was the product which helped them in their hydrotherapy sessions. Mr. Wonderful shared a common thought with most of us and wanted to know if this was some type of gag or real product. Unfortunately, it was real.
Who's proven that this works?
Yeah, you made an awful lot of claims.
I did.
Where is the backup?
It's validated by 7 other countries. This is not an
answer. No, that's not an answer.
Okay.
That means nothing. Can you point to any research that shows that babies who float or massage have better health outcomes? You even said cognitive outcomes, too.
Chris was holding back his laughter, since it was just a challenge to take her seriously, even more so when she is so serious herself. But Chrissy was talking and rarely taking a breath, explaining to the Sharks that it was $65 to let your baby hopefully survive this 20-minute floating session, making Mark ask this.
What were your total sales over the past 12 months?
$44,000 the first year, and we are on track to do $60,000 this year.
Okay, so you're not selling out all your time slots right
now. I'm not.
That's the challenge, right?
That's my second challenge, which is...
That's your first challenge.
This was so ridiculous that the Sharks wanted to know where she marketed this because it looked so silly. It would definitely get attention on social media.
Is social media my strong point? Absolutely not.
This thing should go viral at this point, right?
Look, Chrissy, I'm going to ask you a very simple question.
Okay.
What's your grind?
What do you mean?
I'm out.
Okay.
Christy then said that she, on second thoughts, is grinding. If that is true, then there was something wrong, and it seems like Chris Sacker knows what.
I look at your business, and I can't see the thing that you are uniquely amazing at. I see this as a business for you individually, but I don't see it as something big, and so for that reason, I'm out.
David declared himself out shortly after, and the other Sharks followed, and in the end, leaving Mr. Wonderful with the honor of sending Christy home.
Don't you see what you missed? Don't you deserve to be punished?
Oh.
Of course you do.
I need help. That's why I'm here.
I don't know if you're going to take in the advice you've been given. This is not the advice tank. It's an investor's opportunity. I don't see any chance of making money with you. I'm out.
All right.
As Kevin said, this isn't the advice tank. She took her weird baby neck rings and shallow bathtubs and went home. No one was going to fight for that deal, that's for sure. But if you would like to see some Sharks fighting over real products, click here.
Most bacon that you see in the store is an injected version. Water's placed in it and it goes.
Okay, can you teach me the ropes? Can you tell me what I need to do? I will get it done. And you don't even have to think about it again. That's great about working with me. You don't have to keep telling me over and over again. Like, I know what has to be done. It's going to do it. something in my blood.
You'll be hearing a lot of this today, since today we will be focusing on the talkers and not the action takers. We will take a closer look at some Shark Tank deals that turned out to be scams, but for the sharks, since all of these deals failed miserably shortly after the show.
My name's Cactus Jack. This is my daughter, Kelly. She's a personal fitness trainer, and I invented a new product for fitness called the Body Jack. I'm...
Believe it or not.
Corny thing.
This?
Because the...
I could ask for 50% and say, let's...
Hey guys, Big Swear, Andy Shackman with an emergency meeting. We're still trying to wrap our heads around what's going on with Silicon Valley Bank. Andy's been getting calls about silver off the hook. Andy, first, before we do anything, can you get your hands on silver? Is there anything in inventory? If not, how long would it take? Where do we stand?
I have a lot of inventory, and it's crazy. You know, Bixie, I've been talking about for a long time the market would define itself by an inability to source product, and it was that way for the last couple of years as we've had delivery delays, increased premiums, shortages. Competing with the rest of the world for silver, which has taken on a monetary renaissance, and in a world that is expanding its uses industrially for silver in the asset that is depleting in nature. I mean, the powder keg of reasons why to own silver have grown exponentially. And then I always figured this would manifest itself in difficulty getting product. And it had been the case for the last 36 months until recently, where for the last three or four or five months, maybe three or four, premiums have come way down unexplainably. And I was caught off guard, but I didn't see it. I mean, I was buying stuff right before the beginning of the year that I had to pay for in October and November that I was paying $2-3 an ounce more for than I was selling it for retail when 90 and 120 days later it showed up in my warehouse. Very weird situation, and that's bad for companies like myself who can't hedge the premium. And then it came down and down and down and down until over the last few weeks I've been telling people that this is the best availability and the lowest premiums we've seen really since January, December, February, let's say February 2020.
Let me run something by you. With the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, people are starting to understand just how much the FDIC can insure and then what happens to the rest. I would venture to say that you're going to get a lot of calls with people who have over $250,000 in a bank because they don't know where to go. They don't want to put it in another bank. And I think, I mean, gold and silver obviously would be the number one call outside of cash. I think
we are getting those calls by the droves.
You have been?
We have been all weekend long, and continuing this morning, emails, texts. A lot of my clients have my texts. All of my brokers are saying they're getting blown up right now. And, you know, the funny thing, Vic, honest to God, that I'm doing the same thing. And I know my wife looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, I'm a guy that is 95% invested in precious metals and owns one of the largest metals companies in North America, and I'm buying more because I am afraid of leaving my money in the bank. For the first time in my entire life, I'm really afraid. Yeah. What's going to happen if one of these banks pulls down others with it and it gets to change?
They don't even have to. I mean, truthfully, where we are now, from what I can tell, we had the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank on Friday. It took 24 to 48 hours for that to happen. In the age of digital everything, these things happen fast. There's lines around about 10 different banks right now trying to get money out at ATM. A lot of ATMs are having technical issues.
Right.
The biggest people to understand the new paradigm we're in that they didn't understand before, they're supposed to be the smartest people in finance, are those people in charge of money for corporations? You only get $250,000 of FDIC insurance on corporate bank accounts. Everything over is 100% risk of who you're invested in. Now, with Silicon Valley Bank, what I believe they're doing is they're going to take a bid. They are taking bids right now and are going to sell whatever's left of Silicon Valley Bank to the biggest bidder. And then from that money, it goes into kind of a bankruptcy type of allocation. Who's first in line to get the money? And then so on down the line. People aren't going to get 100% of their money back. The FDIC insured part, yes. It's $250 per person. You can get around that with beneficiaries a little bit on a personal account, not on corporate accounts. So you've got every risk manager in corporate America and around the world, every finance manager in corporate America and around the world saying, oh, my God, we have billions and billions of dollars that are completely at risk at this moment. Monday is going to be a free-for-all, if you ask me, of these gigantic – I mean, they control trillions of dollars. They're going to say, I can't believe I never thought that my money was at risk by holding it in XYZ Bank. There's 18,000 regional banks that are supposedly on the hook right now.
Attention, men. Did you wake up this morning pitching a massive tent? The secret to making your member down there as powerful and stiff as a steel pipe may be hidden inside this powerful, forgotten 2,000-year-old site that is now scientifically proven to get any man's tool upright almost instantly. This spice was first discovered in the Mediterranean in the first century. It contains a naturally occurring bioactive compound that can turn any man as stiff as steel on command. All you need to do is just sprinkle it on your food, and in 1 to 2 hours, you'll feel the magic working. This spice was used thousands of years ago, but it was lost to forgotten history. Researchers only recently rediscovered its importance and how it practically forces your member to stand upright anytime you want, keeping you going for long nights with your partner. This spice will send a surge of energy and desire through your body, through every single vein, to the tip of every single vein you have, causing you to pitch a massive tent on command, so you can last all night in the bedroom and make any woman thrilled while barely even breaking a sweat. What's more, it doesn't matter how old you are. If your little soldier has been out of service for a while, or how dead and dry your drive might feel lately, this ancient spice can give any man the ability to turn his wet noodle into something that resembles a powerful steel pipe. The ability to last for hours in bed, and the ability to harness the youthful energy of a man in his 20s. And all of this without dangerous little blue pills, without doing strange exercises in the shower, or strange devices that could damage you permanently, and without useless herbs like you find at the store. What's unfortunate, without this proven 2,000-year-old spice, getting your machinery up and running again naturally, so it works as you want, when you want, without any pills, can be next to impossible. And the longer the wait, the more challenging this issue can be to fix. Also, if you're married or have a girlfriend, I'll tell you a little secret. A study showed 91% of women consider intimacy to be very important in a relationship. And nearly half of women said they would consider leaving their man if he couldn't satisfy her properly in bed. You don't want this to happen, and it doesn't have to. In a second, you'll get to go behind the scenes and see the brilliant medical research behind this spice and how you can easily sprinkle it on your feed. When you click the link to the free video below, you'll discover why this spice is so...
And it trickles down to the J.P. Morgans of the world, the Wells Fargos of the world. How fast, I don't know, but with the speed of Silicon Valley Bank, I think they're 18th or 18th largest bank. With the speed that happened, that's how fast it could happen with every bank. So Janet Yellen came on this morning, gave no reassurances. She said, we've put in pretty solid parameters of what the banks can do since 2008, and the regulators are on top of this. That means nothing.
She also said there will be no bailout of the
banks. Well, they can't. That's one of the key things of Dodd-Frank. And to me, the guy who's been screaming, the banks are going to crash, the banks are going to crash for 20 years, this is all part of the plan. This didn't come out of the blue. This is part of the plan. They locked off all the outs for the Fed, for the banks, in order to destroy the old system and get something new. And the question is, how fast is it going to happen? I think next week will be ugly and vicious. And once I have always said people won't wake up until their ATMs, they can't get money out of their ATMs. It happened in Cyprus, in Greece. It's going to happen here. I think next week we're going to have a lot of people running to their bank, and that brings out the news. And the news is going to say, oh, no, don't panic. The Fed's going to back up everything. It's not going to stop people. They're going to go to the banks. The banks are going to shut their doors. So my question,
they've been paying close enough attention. They've been lying to us forever, and everything they tell us is not right. It's a lie, and they pivot away from it. Oh, no, there is no inflation. Inflation is, okay, it's transitory. Then it's structural. Then it's peaked, and now it's reemerged, or the subprime crisis is contained. Everything they say is about damage control, and it is to further the game as long as they possibly can. But, yeah, I think this is very real. They had $27 billion in derivatives. Now, what does that mean? Who's attached to the other side of those derivatives? And, you know, a lot of these things seem to take a little bit of time when you look at FTX failing, and then a month and 2 months later, you see Silvergate fail, and now you see this bank fail, and all of the counterparties that were connected to them and all the corporations that were connected to them. What happens? What's the fallout and the systemic risk? And I go back to that meeting of the November meeting of the FDIC Systemic Resolution Advisory Board, who said there's going to be bank runs and bail-ins, and the public needs to know this, that bailouts are illegal from Dodd-Frank, but bail-ins are the new name of the game, and they need to know this, but if we tell them, it'll lead to unintended consequences. That meeting leaked out to YouTube. I know you've covered it, but think about it. They told us, and obviously it's not going to be immune to just two banks. This is obviously just the very beginning. And so, look, if I'm feeling that I want to pull my money out of the bank and buy more gold and silver, what does that say for everyone else? I'm not the poster child for Finance 101. I am not diversified, but I don't know where else to put my money. And when you can't feel safe and sleep well at night with your money in the bank, I'll tell you this, Bix. The one phrase that I've gotten more than anything over the past 2 years, I swear to God, the one phrase that I've gotten more than anything is, I don't want my money in the bank. I just sold my house. I don't want my money in the bank. I just sold my business. I don't want my money in the bank. Us hard asset people and the people who listen to you and this community understand that. But what happens when we see a proliferation out into the mainstream? And with states like Missouri and Wyoming and Idaho and Kansas and all of these states that are now not only proposing and some have accepted gold and silver as legal tender for use in all debt, public and private, at what point does the public, we're starting to see it with the states, when does the public wake up to this? And that's when I think getting a hold of silver is going to be really difficult. I don't say this to incentivize people to run out and buy it. I say it because in my soul, I believe it to be true. That's why I've talked about the bleed down from LVMA, the bleed down from COMEX, India importing 304 million ounces. It's the amount of silver out there, when you realize it's the most shorted metal, the largest concentrated short position of any commodity traded on COMEX, it's the pimple on the elephant's ass when you talk about the amount of money out there. And it's also probably the most compelling investment case I've ever seen in my life. So at some point, and I think you see more of this contagion, it'll happen rapidly. People will wake up to there are very few exits. Like you said, they've blocked everyone. They've made it impossible for resolution. Well, what's our resolution? Our resolution is to be a contrarian, get the hell out of the banks and put your money and take physical possession, as you always say, of something sound and stable and be your own bank, be your own 401k, be your own insurance company. And that's the best advice I could give anyone. It's what I do myself.
I agree 1,000%. I did want to touch on a couple of things. Bail-in. I always said, and still believe, there will never be bail-in as per